ओम हरिः ओम तत्सत् श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ओम ओम श्री परमात्मने नमः यम ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्र रुद्र मरुतः स्तुन्वन्ति दिव्यैस्तवैः वेदैः साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यम् सामगाः ध्यानावस्थित तद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यम् योगिनो यस्यान्तम् न विदुःसुरासुरगणाः देवाय तस्मै नमः ॐ श्री परमात्मने नमः सांख्ययोगो नाम बुद्धाय कृतनिश्चयः सांख्यम मीन्स नॉलेज एंड सांख्य योगः इज द टाइटल ऑफ द सेकंड चैप्टर व्हाई बिकॉज द प्रेडोमिनेंट The important topic of this chapter is knowledge. And here, Krishna as a teacher, Arjuna as a student of this knowledge, we understand the Arjuna is able to ask for this knowledge because he recognizes two things. He has already recognized two things. What are they? Samsara is there. There is life of pains and pleasures. Life is not only life of pleasures. Life is not only life of pains. Life is both life of pains and experience. Life is nothing but full of experience of pains and pleasures. And this is doesn't end with only this life, it's a continuous one. In keeping with one's Punya Papa, now Punya Papa's, the life of experience of pains and pleasures is a beginningless, endless, cycle. It's a beginningless, endless cycle. And the samsara is there. And this one has to understand. Second thing, to overcome the samsara, I have no means. I do not know how to overcome the samsara, how to get rid of the samsara, and I feel utterly helpless. So Arjuna recognized the problem of samsara being there. He also recognized his utter helplessness in terms of solving the problem of samsara. These two things alone help a person to be humble and to approach a teacher and ask for the solution intelligently. Seek the help. That is how he approached Krishna. And he expressed his wish and he expressed his humility by saying, I am your disciple, please tell me only that which will help me accomplish Shreyas. And what is Shreyas? The absolute good. What is absolute good? What is good for all the people, always, everywhere? That is absolute good. Because the word good happens to be the relative term. It can be, what is good for one person need not be good for others. What is good for Radhniji? Radhniji should eat 10 laddus. I should not even touch one laddu. I don't see the laddu. So what is good for one person, it cannot be good for other person. What is good for some people, sometime may not be good for the same person at other time. What is good in England is not all good. I'm having three layers of, already we have 5 layers of personality. And then we have to wear 3 layers of sweaters and then jackets and cardigans and all those things. And now in India, I have to go with only one thin cotton thing. Why? Because it's not. As soon as I enter into Chennai, I had to throw away everything because I'll get baked there. I'll die out of the heat. and here it is cold. So what is good here is not good there. Therefore, the good is always, any adjective is a relative term. But Shreyas is what? Good. It's a good adjective. That means, can I say it is a relative word? No, but it's absolute good. It's not a relative good. The absolute good is that which is good for all the people, always, everywhere is the absolute good. And what is desirable, always, everywhere, for all the people alone is the absolute good. That is Shreyas, that is sorrowlessness, that is happiness, that is freedom from all limitations. That is absolute good. So, Shreyaha is equal to Mokshaha. So, he said, please tell me only that which is the which is absolutely good, Shreyas, and I am your disciple. This sort of humility, now approaching the teacher and asking for knowledge, asking for help, seeking help, please tell me that which will free me, which will help me accomplish Shreyas. Now, that is possible only if one has recognized these two things. One is recognizing the problem of samsara being there, recognizing one's utter helplessness in solving samsara, overcoming the problem of samsara by oneself, by using one's own buddhi chaturyam. Is what? This is two things. Therefore, Arjuna approached and Krishna started teaching from the 11th verse. In the 11th verse onwards, that's why I said last class, the four main topics are discussed in the whole second chapter as an epitome of the, remember the word? I said Upakrama Sankshepaha. The second chapter is nothing but the Upakrama Sankshepaha. It's a brief summary of the entire introductory brief summary of the entire Bhagavad Gita. And I told you already the 18th chapter will be bought. Brief summing up of the entire Bhagavad Gita. It is Upasamhara Sankshepaha. And this is Upakrama Sankshepaha. Sankshepaha means but brief. So here four topics, all the Shastra's main topics, four topics are discussed here also. And the first is Arjuna surrenders. So when, in what situation a person can really surrender? No? Seeking help with all humility, understanding one's problem implies what? Surrender. And that surrender is possible when a person recognizes these two things. So this Arjuna surrender is presented in the first 10 verses from first to the 10th and 11th to 30th, all 30 verses in Krishna unfolds the nature of the self. 20 verses. And here, and Krishna knew the problem, the samsaraha. When a student approaches the teacher seeking help, why? Because then the teacher has to think, what is that? The teacher knows very clearly, because the teacher who's of vision, who has great vision, knows what is the problem. The samsaraha is because of all the problems in life is because of what? Now, erroneous self-perception. This is a very important thing. Erroneous self-perception is the cause for erroneous self-perception. Why do we say erroneous self-perception results in erroneous notion? And not others do not have. Other people may have hundreds of notions about you, but one has one's own notion about oneself which is erroneous. And that notion is what? Mainly, I am small. Okay, the smallness centered on I is the problem. Samsarasya karanam kim? Smallness centered on the I is the samsarasya problem. Samsarasya na? Samsara karanam bhavati. Therefore, this notion one has about oneself has to be corrected. And for the correction of the notion, the smallness, centered on oneself, for it to be removed and to be corrected, all that one needs is, I told you even this morning, see, this we say the ahankara is what? The notion one has about oneself is ahankara. This notion is, why it is erroneous notion? This is because of because of the, you know, all the adhyaropa. Now, the erroneous notion is due to what? The center, why there is smaller centered on the self? Because why one looks at oneself as a small person, limited in terms of so many things? Because the attributes are the, you know, attributes are the limitations of the non-self upon, you know, non-self are superimposed upon the Atma. This adhyaropa is because of what? Adhyaropa is because of adhyasaha, because the non-self is mistaken for the self. Why the non-self is mistaken for the self? Because self is not known, because of self-ignorance. So, atma ajnanat, no, adhyasaha bhavati. Kaha adhyasaha? Anatma atmatvena svikriyate. Kimartham anatma atmatvena svikriyate? Why anatma is mistaken for the atma? Because atma ajnanat. Tena kim bhavati? Na anatma is mistaken for the atma. Because what happens because of that? Anatma dharmaha atmani aropitaha bhavanti, aropyante. That means all the attributes of the anatma are superimposed upon the atma. So what? Anatma dharmaha atmani aropitaha bhavanti. Tena kim? No? Because what happens because of, due to that, due to the superimposition of the limitations and the attributes of the anatma are superimposed upon the atma, then what? The smallness, the notion one has about oneself, what? Becomes erroneous. Na ahankara. What ahankara? All the notions. One can have a notion about oneself because the knowledge that I am is there. See, no animal has any notion about itself. Why? I'm repeating this. Because very important. I won't be doing it again. I'm going to go ahead now. That's what I'm repeating today. Why is it any notion one can have about oneself, any notion one can have about other people also, when is it possible? Only if one has the knowledge I am. If a self-consciousness is there, no animal has any notion about itself. I'm okay. I'm not okay. Those notions are not there. Why? Because the knowledge that I am is not there. Therefore, the knowledge that I am is there, which is also thought, which itself is what? The basis of ahankara. Understand? Thereafter, anything you think of what you are, think as what you are, whatever you think of yourself is what? Ahankaraha, which is erroneous. Is it clear now? Why this erroneous? Because the notion you have about yourself is based on the erroneous self-perception caused by self-ignorance. So, ajnanam is the moola karanam. Okay? Root cause of the samsara. And the root cause of the ajnanam, self-ignorance, results in self, you know, misconception, and thereby adhyasa, no, mistake and erroneous self-perception, and then the superimposition of attributes, etc., ultimately resulted in, you know, total erroneous, the erroneous notion about oneself. Therefore, see, ignorance needs only the knowledge. Removal of ignorance is dependent on knowledge. Removal of, not only is removal of ignorance, it is also correction, no, in error. To correct the error, correcting the error, correction of the error requires not simple knowledge, discriminative knowledge. We are doing tattvabodha, okay? Vivekaha. Elimination of ignorance needs knowledge. Correction, no? We need to know, and also the error has to be corrected. That needs what? Discriminative knowledge. Here only we mistake the anatma for the atma. There are only two things, atma and anatma. Not even two things. The two orders of reality. And then one order of reality, mithya, is mistaken for satyam. Because of the ignorance of what satyam is. Therefore, what is Satyam, what is Mithya, what is Atma, what is Anatma has to be discriminatively known. Then the error can be corrected. Okay, therefore, it is nothing is accomplished, nothing is achieved. Error alone has to be corrected. The notion one has about oneself, is erroneous. That notion is corrected means that notion is resolved, samsara is resolved. Therefore, Krishna started talking about the nature of the self, what Atma is, what Anatma is. In explaining what Atma is, he used beautiful words. What are they? Avyaktaha, achintyaha, avikaryaha, nityaha, sthanuhu, achalaha, sanatanaha, ajaha, shashvataha, puranaha, na hanyate hanyamane sharire, and na jayate, na mriyate. All these words he used. And Atma is Satyam. You know, Satyam is that which has independent existence. You know that. Na asataha, sataha, sataha, abhavaha na vidyate. Asataha bhavaha na vidyate. Sat does not have independent existence. Sat na asat does not have independent existence. Sat has independent existence. That was put in differently. Sataha bhavaha, sataha abhavaha na vidyate. And asataha bhavaha na vidyate. Therefore, this word sat na sat. Atma is Sat, and this Atma is what? Na jayate, na mriyate. Then it is ajaha, nityaha, shashvataha, puranaha. Sthanuhu, achalaha. All these words he used. Therefore, this Atma is what? Shuddha Chaitanyam, pure consciousness, and which has no beginning, no end. It doesn't undergo any change. It is absolutely eternal. Explain. It's not very clear, not very explicitly said, but he said thereafter, he also talked about Anatma. What is Anatma? Here, with reference to an individual, Anatma means he talked about only the Atma, Anatma Viveka here. Anatma means, other than Atma, anything and everything is Anatma, but still, anything external to the body, we don't need to worry about. Anything external to the body also is Anatma. Understand? But we don't mistake that anything external to the body for Atma. Only problem is, only this body, from body onwards only, the Anatma is mistaken for the Atma. Therefore, here he said the nature of the Anatma. This he talked about the body. Ime dehaha antavantaha. He said, all these bodies have beginning and they have an end, they undergo changes. No, dehinaha, then he explained, he also said, but the dehi, who is the dehi here? The subtle body, who indwells this body, asmin dehe dehinaha, dehinaha, it's very natural for the dehi to go through the yavanam, go through the kaumaram, and go through the jara also. Goes through all three stages of life. Similarly, this subtle body can also assume another body. It can continue to live. Subtle body does not die at all. Please understand. Subtle body does not die. Gross body alone, what? Dies means what? How does it get disintegrated? As a material product, it's not destroyed totally, but undergoes a change. That is the nature of the matter. But subtle bodies survive till the pralayam, the time of pralayam. They become subtle and gross bodies. All of them become, go back to their causal, original form. They continue to remain in the form of original causal matter. And the causal matter, even at the prime of pralayam, causal matter, the causal bodies, continue to exist. Even at the time of pralayam, causal matter continues to be there. Causal matter is not at all destroyed. From the causal matter, the subtle forms and the gross forms become manifest. And the gross forms which disintegrated soon, and subtle bodies only resolve once in. Every time there is pralayam, subtle bodies will go back to their original causal matter. This is the nature of the subtle body, this is the nature of the gross body, and causal body is not at all destroyed. Causal body means the matter in its original form is not at all destroyed. Therefore, matter and the material products, the matter from which the bodies have come into being, and the subtle body and the gross body, nothing is absolutely destroyed, totally destroyed, only relatively destroyed, which implies they undergo changes. But this Atma, the consciousness, is not subject to relative destruction also. Nityaha, Shashvataha, Puranaha, Ajaha, Sthanuhu, Achalaha, Avyayaha, Avyaktaha. Understand? Then what happens to this Atma then? Every time the gross body goes, subtle body becomes subtle, it's imperceptible, and then at time of pralayam it goes back. Otherwise it is there. But what happens to the Atma? Every time the gross body falls, it gets disintegrated, Atma remains Atma. Atma is unmanifest. Avyaktaha. Why? Because, he says, suppose if there is electricity, the power, the current power, then the bulb is there, the filament is there, there is expression of electricity. When the filament goes, because the fail in the filament is gone, the bulb is gone, that does not mean there is no electricity. But you cannot understand the electricity being manifest. For the electricity to be manifest, it needs what? A filament or the bulb or fan, some object. When the movement of the fan or the light which is expressed in form of filament now is what? Expression of the manifestation of the electricity. When the bulb is not there, the bulb does not burn, or it's not lit, or there's no filament because of the fuse or something, the filament doesn't shine or anything, does not mean electricity is not there. Electricity is very much there, it is not manifest. Similarly, when the physical body goes, still the consciousness, Atma, continues to be there. But it is not manifest. Avyaktaha. Unmanifest, that's all. It's there, very much there. It's not expressed. Therefore, this is the nature of the Atma. Therefore, Atma is indestructible. Visach nachedyaha, adahyaha, akledyaha, soshyaha, nityaha, sarvagataha, sthanuhu, achalaha, ayam, sanatanaha. All those verses explain and give us the clear picture of the discriminating knowledge of what is the nature of the Atma, what is the nature of the Anatma, how they are Atma and Anatma together constitute an individual. Really speaking, they are not two different things. Atma and Anatma are not two different things when we say, no, Atma and Anatma are not two distant things also. Atma is Satyam, Anatma is Mithya. They are two orders of the same reality. And here, hey Arjuna, you don't need to grieve over Anatma. You don't need to grieve over Atma. Why do you need to worry? No? You don't need to grieve over Atma for its indestructibility. You don't need to grieve over the Anatma for its being subject to change. It's the nature of the Anatma. Understand the fact and accept the fact, then no intelligent mind can deny the fact. So once you're intelligent, accept the fact, then that means you are mature. So all that we need is the mature person will not be shaken by the change that takes place on the part of the Anatma. So he talked about all those things. Thereafter he also emphasized why Arjuna should fight, why Arjuna should do his duties. And when explaining that nature of the Atma, what he made very clear in between was, see, if the knowledge, if suppose if the person knows what the I is, no, the meaning of the word I is, then naturally the Anatma is not mistaken for the Atma. And one, if a person knows the meaning of the word I is only consciousness, and he understands consciousness alone, consciousness is of the nature of knowing. Therefore, knowing, because of consciousness alone, knowing is possible. Consciousness is of the nature of actionlessness. Do you understand what is the nature of the consciousness? Knowing is the nature of the consciousness, and not only knowing, actionlessness, silence, actionlessness is the nature of the Atma. If you say actionlessness is the nature of the Atma, then what? Definitely, Atma is not the knower. But if knowing is possible because of the Atma, therefore knower is consciousness. Anower is Atma. Without the Atma, no seeing, hearing, no perception is possible. Therefore, Atma is not the perceiver. Without the Atma, no perception is possible. Therefore, from the standpoint of the perceived, the perceiver is Atma. Atma is not the hearer. Without Atma, no hearing is possible. Therefore, hearer is Atma. Atma is of the nature of actionlessness. Without Atma does not see, hear or anything. But without Atma, no seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, knowing, understanding, the thinking is possible. Therefore, the thinker, knower, seer, hearer, everything is what? Atma. Atma is not the doer. Why? Atma is of the nature of actionlessness. Atma does not do any action. But without the Atma, no doing is possible, no action is possible. Therefore, Atma is not the doer, but there cannot be doer, there is no doer without the Atma. The doer is Atma. So, Atma is the nature of actionlessness. Once you know this, then, okay, the one who knows that Atma being free from doership, he also knows Atma is not the enjoyer also. Once you understand, please understand here, if we understand the Atma, we know the Atmanaha Swarupam, nature of the Atma. What is the Swarupam here? Actionlessness. Once you know actionlessness to be the nature of the Atma, then Atma is not the doer. Once if Atma is not the doer, Atma is not the enjoyer also. If Atma is not the enjoyer, what do you mean by that? Atma is free from doership and enjoyership means Atma is free from all punya papas. If Atma is all free from all punya papas, why? Because there is no enjoyership. What frees him now? What does freed him? What does really liberate a person? One has to free oneself from the experience of going through pains and pleasures. How can you free yourself from pains and pleasures? One can free oneself from pains and pleasures by freeing oneself from being an enjoyer. How can one free oneself from being an enjoyer? One has to understand the self is not the enjoyer. To understand self is not the enjoyer, one has to understand self is not the doer. To understand this, one has to know actionlessness is the swarupam of the Atma. Once you know the actionlessness as a swarupam of the Atma, you place the I, you shift the I from the Anatma body, mind, sense complex to the consciousness, the Atma. Now, why do you think you are the doer? Why there is a notion, I am a doer. I am a doer. That notion is there. I am a doer. I am a papi. I am a papi. Aham punyavan. Aham papavan. Aham karta. Aham bhokta. I am bhokta. Aham bhokta. I am an enjoyer. That notion is very sitting here. That notion is very strong. I am an enjoyer. That notion is there. I am a doer. That notion is there. I am punyavan, papavan. I am a sinner. I have committed sins. I have done good karma. So, aham papavan, aham punyavan, aham karta, aham bhokta, these notions are all there. Why? Because I mistake the anatma, body, mind, sense complex for the atma. Therefore what? I mistake all the doership and enjoyership. Or what now? The doership, enjoyership are superimposed upon the atma. Therefore, now what now? That is why, now come on, who is the doer? Okay? Atma is not the doer, but the doer is Atma. But really speaking, one can free oneself from what this notion. Therefore, the notion alone needs correction, for which you have we need jnanam. It is not enough simply if we understand this, and this fact has to be again and again and again and again and again. You have to remind yourself of this fact. Okay? How? And I taught you the two prakriyas, Driktrishevaka prakriya, Avasthatriya prakriya, using which you can very much understand. Definitely Drik is not the Drishyam. Knower is not the known. And all this body, this pranas, this mind, this sense powers, this powers of organs of action, this mind, this intellect, all these emotions, all different states of mind, all ahankara, everything is what? All are anatma. And I, the knower, am the atma. No? Chaitanyam. This fact one has to remind oneself constantly. Is constantly reminding oneself of the fact of the self being pure an atma, the consciousness, self being not the anatma. Is remembering these two prakriyas is what will help us. Okay, that is why constant study also is important. So here ends the thing, and thereafter, and he said from the standpoint of Swadharma also, hey Arjuna, you cannot say you cannot fight. Because there's nothing needed for Kshatriya, that they involve in oneself in this battle, fought for protecting Dharma. He explained all those things. Thereafter, he said, the last verse he said, and if you involve yourself in this battle, if you fight for protecting Dharma, you know, against the adharma, then definitely if you will. Be killed also, you will go to Swargam. You will have what defeats a punya karma. Now, for the sake of protecting Dharma, fighting against Adharma, doing one's duty, see, Swadharma Anushtanam is always punya karma. Swadharma Anushtanam is a punya karma. If you do your own duty and if you gain punyam, as a result of that, even if you are failure here in the books of others, really speaking, that punyam will help you to go and have heavenly pleasures. You are killed also, you will have heavenly pleasures. And even if you win here, you will become an emperor here, king here. No hataha swargam prapshasi. No jitaha mahim bokshase. You will enjoy this mahi, earth here. Therefore, in a way, there is no loss at all for you. There is a gain. Loss is gain, gain also is gain. Success is gain, failure also is gain. Defeat is gain, victory is gain. Therefore, you do your duty, that he emphasized. Thereafter, and if at all, even in doing one's own duty, please be very, very careful. If one does not do one's duty, definitely one incurs sin. Please understand. If one does not do one's own duty, definitely it is what? Papa karma. How? Because duty is something which has to be done. So one has to know what one's duties are, what one's responsibilities are, then one has to do or perform one's own duty. duties. If you do not do what is to be done, definitely you will end up doing what should not be done. Why? That is the nature of the very matter. Understand? One has to keep oneself occupied and engaged. Please understand, Shastram says it is impossible for one to remain without doing any karma, even for a kshanam. Nahi kasti kshanam api jato tishtati. Never does a person remain, even for a second, without doing anything. At least he will fall asleep. It is natural for one. At least one has to fall asleep. Otherwise, one has to be doing something or the other. Now, simply sitting does not make one an on-doer. You can dream, you can be thinking of something, you can be physically idle and lazy, but still mind will be very busily thinking of something. Therefore, always kshanamapi jatu na tishtati akarmakrita. One cannot remain without doing any action, even for a second. Why? Because that is the nature of the very matter. One has to do something or the other. Therefore, because no one has choice about doing the action. One has to be doing something or the other. That is why better you know your duties, know your responsibilities and do your duties. Why? If you do not know what is to be done and if you do not do what is to be done, definitely you will end up doing what should not be done, which will incur papam. One reason. Okay? Thereafter, if you do not do your sudharma also, you will incur papam. Suppose if you do your duties also, what? Still there is possibility of being bound. But how to overcome that? You have to do your duties, still you have to free yourself from bondage. How? No? That's what he's going to say here. In fact, Krishna tells in this, because knowledge, even though he talked about, listen carefully, even though Krishna briefly talked about what is Atma, what is Anatma, what is the nature of the Anatma, what is the nature of the Atma, what is Satyam, what is Mithya, he explained, hey Arjuna, I have told you, now you have some understanding of Atma, Anatma, Viveka you have. That does not mean you have ascertained this knowledge. You have not yet assimilated. This assimilation, ascertained vision of what you have heard from me, I have clearly said now, and you have heard me also telling you, and you have understood definitely how the body is not the, Atma is not the body, Atma had the mind, Atma is not the pranas, etc. You have understood well. You also know how Atma, Hajaha, Nityaha, etc. You have understood. That does not mean, okay, you have the ascertain vision of the Atma, Anatma, Viveka. Therefore, but for that vision, you have to be constantly focusing your attention on the nature of the Atma. For that you are not ready. You are not yet, you have not yet got the contemplative disposition of the mind. You need a steady mind. And that for which you need some, okay, you need to do your duty now. And you need some purity also, for which the qualification required for jnanam, you need to be qualified for jnanam, and for which you need what? Sadhana chatushtaya sampatihi. Remember the Satatabodha class? Atmana, what was that? Nitya anitya vastu vivekaha, then iha amutra partha palabhogeshu viragaha, thereafter Shamadi Shatka, Shamahadamaha, Uparmahadiksha, Shadda, Samadhanam, etc. Then we saw Mukshutvam. For all these fourfold qualifications, especially Shamaha, Damaha, Uparamaha, Titiksha, Shadda, Samadhanam, for which the only way is you have to live a life of Karma Yoga. So living a life of Karma, why? Because performance of duties. See, now he already told you, he said, non-performance of duties definitely will not help you accomplish Shreyas which you have asked for. Performance of your duties also will not help you accomplish Shreyas. What is this? You say, if I don't do my duties, I will incur sin. If I do my duties also, I will not accomplish moksha. What is this? What should I do then? Yes, non-performance of actions will incur sin. It will not take you anywhere near moksha. Performance of duties is better because that will prepare your mind for jnanam, which is moksha. So, performance of duties also, how should it be done? So, okay, sadhana chatushtaya sampattihi, for which you have to do your duties, but with certain attitude. It is not mere performance of karma, but performance of karma with the proper attitude, with a certain attitude which converts your karma into yoga, which prepares for your mind for jnana. That is yoga. The karma which you prepare, you do, if it contributes for the preparedness of the mind, only then it is yoga. Otherwise, there is ayoga. It is not yoga. Understand? Therefore, now he says, you have no choice, you have to do your duty. And doing your duty also, how you should do, with what attitude you should do, it has to be converted into karma yoga, the mere karma. Okay? See, non-performance of karma will not take you to Shreyas. So, performance of karma also will not take you, but performance of karma, how performing, no? What sort of performance will help me? It will help you accomplish moksha. It will prepare your mind for jnanam, which is moksha. He's going to teach how one should do one's duties. It is going to be said. So, from here, the karma yoga begins. The second topic of the in the Shastra Drishtya, Karma Yoga is a preparatory step. Jnana Yoga is the main step, main teaching. But here, first Krishna talked about the Jnana Yoga topic has been over, it has to follow. But for that Jnanam, you need preparedness. For that, prepare for the qualification, this is the way. I told you, even Tattva Bodha class, Tattva Bodha only points out the qualifications required for jnanam. Tattva Bodha does not tell how to become qualified, does not say. And where Bhagavad Gita teaches how to become qualified for jnanam. So from 38th onwards till the 54th verse, Karma Yoga is the topic. Sukha Dukhe Same Krit Sukha dukhe same kritva labha labhau jaya jayo bhau jaya jayo tato yuddhaya yujyasva yujyasva naivam papam avapsyasi Very beautiful. Papam na avapsyasi. Papam na avapsyasi. Avapsyasi you will attain. Na avapsyasi you will not attain. What? Papam. You will not incur sin. You will not attain papam. Why? Because non-performance of action duties will result in papa. Performance of duties will result in punyam. But punyam also is what? Binding. Whether a person has punyam or papam, both have to be exhausted. Understand? Punyam also has to be exhausted. Punyam also is what? Binding in a way. But punyam means you have to have punyam, but that punyam should be what? Non-binding punyam. How can the punyam, how can you escape? Papam na avapsisi, you will not incur any sin. What if you do your duty? How you should do? Sukha dukkhe same kritva labha alabhau jaya ajayau sukha dukkhe same kritva yuddhaya yujyasva. Yujyasva. Now may you, yujyasva means what? May you do your duty. Yuddhaya yujyasva. May you keep yourself, ready to do your duty. You do your duty. Yujyasva. Now fit yourself to your, to do your duty now. And how you should do? Whatever sukha dukkhe, sukham duktatha dukkham cha, sukham cha dukkham cha sukha dukkhe, labaha alabaha cha, labha labho, jayaha ajayaha cha, jaya jayo. Okay, whatever comes. No, same kritva means samam bhutva, samaha bhutva, samo bhutva. See, pain and pleasure. Sukham, dukkham is what? Pain and pleasure. Jaya, ajayaha is what? Victory or defeat. Labha, alabha is what? Gain or loss. They're all pairs of opposites. You can add some more pairs of opposites. No problem. Sukham, dukkham, labha, alabha, jayaha, ajayaha. You can say victory, victory, defeat, loss or gain, pain or pleasure. The pairs of opposites are inevitable. When you perform a karma, that karma becomes a nimittam, instrumental for some result to come. That result will be definitely either of the pairs of opposites. Pain or pleasure, victory or defeat, loss or gain. Pairs of opposites are inevitable. They will be the results. Pairs of opposites will be the results. Either of the pairs of opposites, no? Any of the pairs of opposites will be the result of any karma you do. But whatever comes, if you can remain the same to both, then you will not incur sin. This is the only way. He just simply says, same samo bhutva, same kritva. No, looking at all the pairs of opposites with the sameness of mind. Looking at all the pairs of opposites and keeping them with the same, now looking at with sameness of mind. If you do your duty, then you will not incur sin. Otherwise, even if you do your duty, you will incur sin. Why? If you do not have samatva buddhi, if you do not have the sameness of mind, equanimity in terms of accepting all the pairs of opposites, then your karma will not be yoga. Karma will be a karma. If samatvam is not there in terms of results, accepting the results, looking at the results, whatever is the result, desirable or undesirable, all the pairs of opposites. Now, one set of the pair of opposites are desirables. Other one is undesirables. Either desirable, sukham is desirable, labha is desirable, jaya is desirable. Ajayaha, alabaha, dukkham are all undesirable. Desirable or undesirable, whatever is the result, whatever result is, definitely there's going to be a result. That result will be what? Either desirable or undesirable. Or there will be pairs of opposites. This will be the result. Know beforehand very well. Not two miracles are not there. Either success or failure. Either defeat or victory. Gain or loss. Pain or pleasure. This is how the results will be. But what sort of mind you should have when you face the results? Samattam, samekrutva. If we can accept them with the sameness of mind, then if you do your duty with the readiness to accept, even before doing a duty, with the readiness to accept any result with sameness of mind, with equanimity, then that karma is not an ordinary karma. It's a karma yoga. If it is a karma yoga, papam na avapsisi. If you do not have the readiness to accept the future results, all the pairs of opposites with sameness of mind, then it is not karma yoga, it is karma. The mere karma, then you will papam avapsisi. Karma yoga liberates, frees you from bondage. Karma binds you. To make the karma into karma yoga, even before you do the karma, before you do your duty, you have the preparedness. Have the preparedness means what? Have the mind, which you will be ready to accept any result with sameness of mind. Then the karma you do becomes karma yoga. Then yuddhaya yujyasva. Arjuna's duty is what? Yuddham. Dharma yuddham. Dharma yuddham. That dharma yuddham swadharmam kuru. Katham kuru. Katham karaniyam swadharma. Swadharmaha katham acharaniyaha. Katham, no? Swadharma anushtanam katham. Means sukha dukkhe same krutva labha labho jaya ajayo sukha dukkhe same krutva swadharmam. Adharma kuru. You do your duty. Then papam na avapsisi. And here I have to go into little more details. The question becomes, how is it possible for us to have the samatvam, equanimity? How can we remain equanimous, towards all desirable and undesirable pains and pleasures, all pairs of opposites? How can we take them with sameness of mind? It is impossible. It is impossible to take all the pairs of opposite with sameness of mind. And here, I have to use the explanation given elsewhere to make this verse meaningful. Not very meaningful, though, to make this verse understood better. You can accept any result, anything which comes in life is a result of an action. Any situation which arises, which is desirable or undesirable, which keeps your mind happy or unhappy, is what? In fact, it is a result. It's only for the present situation is always a nimittam for your past karma phalams to surface or manifest. And they're coming. And always karmani eva tvam karoshi. You do only karmas, but the karma phalani always niyati bihi nischiyante. Only all the natural laws alone definitely determine the results of actions. See, whatever one goes through in life, this is very important for all of us to remember this. Pain or pleasure, what one goes through, ultimately all the pairs of opposites can be reduced to what? Two states of mind, pain and pleasure. Success, pleasure. Failure, pain. Gain, pleasure. Loss, failure. Now, loss, pain. Defeat, pain. Victory, pleasure. Like always, all the pairs of up. In winter, heat, pleasure. In summer, heat, pain. Similarly, in summer, heat, pain. Like that, all the pairs of opposites can be ultimately reduced to states of mind, pain and pleasure. That is what? About the pain and pleasure, we can say, sukham or dukkham, the mental states, no? The mind. Mind is very light when there is pleasure. Mind is so burdened and heavy. You feel that the pain, mental pain always makes you feel so tired physically because you feel mentally so burdened. Really, I tell you, promise, if you are happy, you feel so light. If you mentally, if you are so, no, emotionally you go through pain, that pain is such a big burden, mental burden. It makes you feel so tired, as if you are having something very heavy on your body, even if you don't have anything. It's a burden. Therefore, all these pairs of opposites can be reduced to pain and pleasure. And pain and pleasure is always ordained by the natural laws. Promise. Shastram says, nobody else in the jagat is responsible for your pain or your pleasure. Others may become only nimittam. Okay, others who seem to be irritating you, whose behavior is not irritable and intolerable, all the situations around promise, satyam, satyam, punasatyam, punasatyam, nothing needs to irritate us. Okay, any pain, any pleasure is what? Definitely ordained by the natural laws. Why this pain this time? Why this pleasure this time? And who becomes nimittam? Whose behavior becomes nimittam? Who are the people around nimittam? What situation is nimittam? You know, Obama's victory made the whole jagat. Many people are happy. There's no reason. People are happy. What do Japanese have to do with, what do they have to do with Obama's victory? So what? How much do they know about Obama? How much do they know about Obama? Japanese dance and happily. If Kenyan Americans are happy, there's some reason, some sense of belonging. What do the Japanese have to do with Obama's victory? Why should they dance? Why should Chinese, explore crackers and be happy? What is the reason? His victory is nimittam for them to have man suffer some their own punyam, some pleasure. People are crazy, okay? There's no reason, really speaking. Only nimittam. For pain or pleasure, what one goes through, the surfacing of what is there already. Pain is always old. Please understand. Pain is never new. Pain is always old. It is always there, already there in subconscious. It only surfaces. And for which the present situation, the person or the behavior or the people or any other situation, no, our present situations or dealings or handlings or business, anything can become nimittam. We do have to act. I don't say no. We do have to act and counteract. We have to do all those things. We have to do the needful. That is different. But the mental states are what? Definitely, it is the ordained by the natural laws. That is why we do have no say over results of actions. And the natural laws are what? Natural laws exist as part and parcel of the whole jagat, and which is Ishvara. Anything which goes through the jagat is what? Everything is Ishvara, means the laws which determine the result. Pain is Ishvara, pleasure is Ishvara, the laws which determine the results of, results of actions, which determine these states of mind also what? Ishvara. Because the pain and pleasure are what? part of the function of mind. Function, like seeing, hearing, thinking, smelling are functions. The pain being there is what? Mind. Pleasure being there is mind. Knowing is mind, thinking is mind, going suffering is, everything is mind. Is part of the function of minding. And function means what? It is within the realm of an order. Order is backed by knowledge. Therefore, we say the natural laws determine the results of actions, and natural laws alone determine that punya papa. We do not see the connection, really speaking. And those laws are Ishvara. If we can look at everything as Ishvara, the natural laws as Ishvara, then the results ordained by the natural laws can be very much looked upon as prasadaha, gift from Bhagavan. Then we can accept them. Gift from Bhagavan cannot be denied. Accepted with what? With sameness of mind. And we can accept them with sameness of mind. Why? Because we know we are expecting the eternal good. Shreyas, ultimate good, absolute good, not relative good. It's only any pleasure is relative good. Any pain is relative bad. We can accept the relative, no? They're only relative. Pain is relative, pleasure also is relative. We are expecting, we are aiming at what? Absolute good. Relative good, relative bad, we can accept. They come and go. We saw already where, in the previous verse, in between Krishna was saying, Tam Sitikshasva, already it has been said. No? Sukha, he said there, all these dvandvaha, anityaha, agamapayinaha, already has been said. All these dvandvas, agamapayinaha, they come and go. Anityaha, they are impermanent. They are not going to be there forever. Because they don't have the strength. They are the nature of coming and going. Anityaha, agamapayinaha. Therefore, dvandvaha, tantitikshasva, may you learn to endure them. You can endure them. You can really have strength to accept them. Endurance implies what? The strength, mental strength to accept them. And that you can overcome them, accept them, overcome them successfully, efficiently, for which if you know the nature of them. What is the nature? Agamapan, they come and go. The time-bound in nature, come and go, they're impermanent. Okay? And they both are what? Relative. Pain is relative, pleasure also is relative. And what you expect is absolute everlasting happiness, mokshaha. That is only in jnanam. Therefore, once you know this, you can look at these pairs of opposites ordained by the laws, which are Bhagavan, then you can accept them with sameness of mind as prasada. Only if it is possible for one to relate to the results as prasada, then you can accept in sameness of mind. Once you have this, then what? You have samatvam. Samatvam means what? We are going to see later on. Samatvam, yogaha. Samatvam, yogaha is a big topic, karma yoga topic. Sameness of mind. Here he says samekritva. Same thing is repeated here. So karma yoga is introduced here. Okay, samekritva. Then you do a duty. Without this samatva buddhi, if you do a duty, still it's a binding karma. Non-performance also is papam, will result in papam. Performance of karma also will be what result in binding punyam. You have to have punyam, you have to have avad papam. That punyam should be contributing for your, you know, mental preparedness required for jnanam. That case, you should have samatva buddhi, samatvam. And to have samatvam, only then it will be karma yoga. To have samatvam, understand this fact. Everything is Bhagavan. Natural laws are Bhagavan. Laws determine the results of actions. Laws alone, remaining as the laws, involved in the function of minding, the pains and pleasures, No? Ordained by natural laws. Nobody is responsible for my pains and pleasures. This is a fact. This is a fact. Whether you like it or not, it's a fact. Once you understand this fact and you know all these dvandvas come and go, agama payinaha anityaha, therefore you can tolerate them, endure them. Not only that, you can accept them with sameness of mind, you can overcome them, efficiently, intelligently. Then papam naiva avapsisi. Evam papam na avapsisi. You will not incur sin. Not attain sin. Okay. You see the Bhashyam here. Sukha dukhe iti. Sukha dukhe. Same. Tulye kritva. Tulyam is another word for samam. Okay. Remaining balanced towards both. Remaining balanced means what? Remaining the same. Remaining the same means what? When desirable comes, we don't get elated. When undesirable comes, we don't get depressed and dejected. We are the same. There's neither elation nor depression in terms of facing desirable and undesirable situations in the form of any of the pairs of opposites such as pains and pleasures, all of them. Therefore, ragadveshau api akritva ityetat. See, same kritva means ragadveshau akritva. Ragadveshau akritva means what? Always raga is for desirable, dvesha is for undesirable. I want pleasure, I do not want what? No? Pain. That means what? There is no acceptance of undesirable, there is acceptance of only desirable. That means there is no samatvam. Is it clear now? Having samatvam implies there is acceptance of both desirable and undesirable with equanimity, with the sameness of mind. Ragadveshav akritva. There is no, understand, akritva. Tatha labha alabhau jaya ajayau cha samau kritva. So similarly, remaining the same towards labha, gain or loss, victory or defeat, remain the same towards all of them. Yuddhaya kitataha leftataha yuddhaya yujyasva ghatasva. Now make it, come on, get ready. No? To get, be ready, get ready, and then make effort to do your duty then. With this attitude, with this attitude of looking at all the situations, desirable or undesirable, without any likes and, no, without having liking for one thing, dislike for other thing, accepting them with sameness of mind, and may you be, get ready to do your duty. Na, evam, yuddham kurvan, papam, avapsisi, evam, if you do your duty in this manner, that means what? With this attitude of accepting or any result of your duty with sameness of mind, then you will not incur sin at all. Okay? This is iti yeshaha upadeshaha prasangikaha So, prasangaha means what? The context, okay? And prasangika means in this context, the contextual, okay? He says, in this context, Bhagavan says, in between, also he tells this. So, he emphasizes two things. One should not remain without doing one's duty. While doing one's duty also, merely doing one's duty also will not free one from bondage. For freedom, all that you want is only jnanam, not punya papa. But this earning of punyam in terms of doing one's duty with proper attitude, entertaining certain attitude towards the results of actions, all the situations will help you prepare, will prepare your mind for jnanam. Therefore, this is how one has to do one's duty. Here mainly he talks about how one has to, what sort of mind one should have, attitude one should have when one does one's duties in terms of one's the expectation of results. Nowhere Krishna says, don't do, do your duty without expecting a result. No. He does not say anything. Be prepared for any result. That is what he said. There's much difference in saying, don't expect your result is different from be ready for any result. Much difference, isn't it? Be ready for any result. And have the same mind towards whatever is the result. It is different from saying, don't expect the result. No, it's nowhere it is said. You do your duty expecting a result, and here, very well expect the result and be prepared for the result, because result is definite. Result is definite. Be prepared for the result. But the result may be desirable to you, may not be desirable to you, and be prepared and have the same mind towards desirable or the undesirable. Then it becomes, for which to have the same mind towards any result, desirable or undesirable, you need to remember this fact. What is the fact which you do not know? All the pain, any pain or pleasure is what, in fact, is part of the mind, function of the mind. They occur as part of the function of minding. Therefore, they are ordained by the natural laws. Natural laws are Bhagavan. Therefore, once you understand this fact, you can look at all the situations, as prasada. Once you can relate to them as prasada, you can accept them with sameness of mind. Second thing, they come and go, not permanent. Then this attitude helps you. Even if you do your duty, you will not incur papam. Shokamoha apanaye. Laukikaha nyayaha. Swadharmamapi. Cha avekshya ityadyaihi shlokaihi uktaha natu tatparyena. See, shoka moha apanayanaya. Okay, shokaha means grief, mohaha means delusion. You know very well, what is delusion? Lack of discriminative knowledge of what the self is, what the non-self is what mohaha. Mohaha means what? Delusion. Delusion means what? Lack of discriminative knowledge. Lack of discriminative knowledge of what? Of what the self is, what the non-self is. And that mohaha alone is the cause for shokaha. Shokaha means grief. Shokaha, the grief, is due to mohaha. Mohaha is due to ignorance, ajnanam. Ajnanat mohaha. Due to the absence of, due to the ignorance of the self, there is lack of discriminative knowledge of what the self is, what the non-self is. Because the lack of discriminative knowledge of the what the self is, what the non-self is, the non-self is mistaken for the self, and thereby all the problems come. At last results in what? Grief, shokaha. Shokaha is due to mohaha. Always remember this. Shoka moha, shoka moha. Shankaracharya is going to talk about, everywhere he is going to talk about shokaha, mohaha. Shokaha is due to mohaha. So for moha, moha nivaranartham, what is shoka nivaranartham, shoka apanayanaya, the only solution is what? Moha apanayaha. Apanayaha means what? Removal or elimination. Apanayanam. Apanayanam means what? Elimination or removal. Nayanam means leading and taking. Upanayanam means bringing closer. Apanayanam means taking away. Okay? Apanayanam is taking away. Upanayanam means bringing closer. So Upanishad we say, why? Because that which takes you near the truth, near yourself, is Upanayati iti Upanishad. Understand? Whereas Apanayanam means what? Remove, takes away. Takes away, therefore it keeps away, takes away, removes and eliminates. So, shoka apanayanam means what? Removal of grief is possible only, removal of grief is possible only if the moha is removed. Removal of moha will remove the shoka. Okay? Shoka apanayanaya, moha apanayanam, avashyakam. Mohaha, understand now? Is it? Therefore, this is the actual tatpariyartha. What is a tatpariyartha means what? The actual teaching is, what is the actual teaching? For the removal of shoka, moha has to be eliminated. For the removal of moha, what you need is vivekaha. Vivekaha will remove moha, understand? Moha will, elimination of moha will remove shoka. Remember this now? Vivekaha is for the removal of moha. Removal of moha is for the removal of shoka. That is the actual meaning. But Krishna said, but laukikaha nyaya, that is tatpariyartha. But laukikaha nyaya is what? If you want to get rid of sorrow, and you want to get, all these things, do your duty. What others think? What will these people will think? They'll all think bad of you. They'll think they will, even your enemies will talk bad of you. All these verses are said, some laukika nyaya. Understand? Even though it is said, really speaking, tatpariyartha is what? What is tatpariyartha? It's all worldly transactions. We say, if you don't do your duties, and what will others think? If you don't do, if you don't fight, all your enemies will think you are frightened. You ran away from the battle out of fear. They will talk ill of your efficiency, and they talk bad of your, they talk very, very bad of you. Avachyavadan bahun vadishyanti. Therefore, all these things, such things, when he said, this is only to boost him, only for laukika nyayaha. What is the tatpariyartha? Really speaking, all that you want is shoka apanayaha. You want is removal of shoka. For which, you need only removal of moha. Which is possible only if you have viveka. Understand? Paramartha darshanam tu iha prakritam. So paramartha darshanam tu iha prakritam. So paramartha darshanam means vision of the truth. Ascertained vision of the truth is the parama artha darshanam. Paramaha artha paramartha, and paramartha darshanam is the vision of the ascertained vision of the reality. Iha prakritam, that is what is emphasized here. Tacha uktam, that has been said. Upasam hriyate. So what has been said before, what has been said here, ultimately paramartha darshanam, one needs the ascertained vision of the truth, which alone will remove the, which will give him one the vivekaha, discriminating knowledge of the self and the non-self, which will help one to remove the mohaha, delusion, which will, in the process will remove shoka. That is what is implied here. Okay? And what has been said till now, and that is upasamhriyate, that is summed up again here, where, following verse, she is going to say, yesha te abhihita iti shastra vishaya vibhaga pradarshanaya iha hi pradarshite punaha shastra vishaya vibhage uparishtat jnana yogena sankhyanam karma yogena yoginam iti nishtadvaya vishayam shastram sukham pravartishyate shrotarascha vishaya vibhagena sukham grahishyanti iti atah aha. Okay. See, this chapter is very beautifully, he said. Vishaya, listen carefully. Vishaya vibhagaha. Shastra vishaya vibhagaha. Vibhagaha means what? Department, division, section, you can say. Okay. Bhagaha is part. Vibhagaha is different part. I mean, different section here, division here. And shastra vishaya vibhagaha, the entire shastram is divided into two subject matter. Entire shastram, the Veda shastram has two shastra. The entire Veda has two shastras. One is karma shastram, one is moksha shastram. One is what? Karma yoga lifestyle. One talks about the jnana yoga life. Karma yoga life and jnana yoga life, both karma yoga and jnana yoga are the two divisions of the entire shastram. But the end is what? Only one. What is the ultimate end? Paramartha darshanam. Paramartha darshanam means what? Ascertained clear vision of the ultimate reality is paramartha darshanam. That vision of the ascertained vision of the reality will remove what? Will give us what? Will give us vivekaha. What vivekaha? Atma anatma vivekaha. That viveka will remove what? Mohaha. Okay? That moha, removal of moha will result in what? Removal of grief. That free us from grief. That is the actual paramarthik. That is the actually the main subject matter here. And for which, now that is what is said, all these things. But in between, Krishna talks about this Karma Yoga here. So this chapter is what? Sankhya Yoga. This chapter is Sankhya Yoga. Sankhya Yoga means what? Jnana Yoga. Jnana Yoga means what? The knowledge of the reality. Knowledge of the reality means what actually? Unfoldment of the nature of the reality, unfoldment of the nature of the self, it is discussed. So where the discussion consisting of the nature of the reality forms what? The Jnana Yoga. Discussion of the nature of the reality forms the Jnana Yoga. Therefore, this chapter is what? This chapter, the main topic of the chapter is the nature of the reality, Jnana Yoga. Jnana Yoga is the main topic of the subject matter of this chapter. That is why it is entitled as what? Sankhya Yoga. Sankhya Yoga means Jnana Yoga. Jnana Yoga means what? Which has the discussion of the nature of the reality, nature of the self. That is the main topic. Therefore, Sankhya. In this chapter, on the chapter wherein the main topic is what? This main topic consisting of the discussion of the nature of the reality, there, buddhihi, this karma yoga, buddhihi means here what? The attitude one should have in terms of doing actions and accepting the results of actions, that has been discussed. That implies what? Buddhihi stands for karma yoga, sankhyam stands for jnana yoga. In the chapter, wherein the main topic and discussion is Jnana Yoga, there in between, Karma Yoga also is discussed here. Is it clear now? The Bhashan says, which is going to say now, he introduces here, so he talks about why. Because, why in the chapter, which has the main discussion of Jnana Yoga, wherein Karma Yoga is brought in. The word karma yoga is implied by the word buddhihi, jnana yoga is implied by the word sankhyam. In the chapter on sankhyam, buddhihi, the karma yoga also is brought in. Why? Because jnana yogena sankhyanam, karma yogena yoginam, those who are contemplative, those who are endowed with fourfold qualifications, those who are mentally pure and steady, those who have understood the nature of the self, those who can dwell upon the nature of the self, for such people, Jnana Yoga lifestyle is prescribed. They can understand, assimilate, Shravanam, Mananam, Anidhyasanam, they can be involved in the pursuit of Jnanam. If they are not ready for that Jnanam, then there is what? Karma Yoga. Sankhyanam Jnana Yoga. Who are Sankhyaha? Those who are ready for Jnanam, those who are committed to the pursuit of knowledge, and those who are ready for Jnanam, those who are endowed with fourfold qualifications, those who are qualified for Sankhyam or Sankhyaha. Okay, Sankhyanam Jnana Yoga, Sankhya Yoga. Okay, for other people who are not ready for Jnana Yoga, they are not inferior. Please understand, Bhagavan does not mean anybody is a superior inferior. Unqualified, qualified means those who are qualified were unqualified before, now they have become qualified. Those who are unqualified are supposed to become qualified later on. That's all Bhagavan says. Bhagavan does not say unqualified or inferior and qualified or superior. No. See, because Bhagavan has to be very careful in talking, Because he can't afford to hurt anybody. Oh, I'm unqualified means immediately will feel I'm inferior. Already we are killing ourselves with a lot of problems and guilt. It's worse than death. Suffering with guilt and hurt is worse than death. I tell you. So Bhagavan will not be very careful in saying anything. He'll never compare anybody with anybody else. According to Shastram, comparison, conducting competitions, giving price, doing price distribution, who are we to decide who is the best and who is better? Okay, all these things are not acceptable from the standpoint of Shastram. Really speaking, okay, really, really speaking, is not all acceptable. So Bhagavan says, there are people who are ready for, qualified for Jnana Yoga. There are people who yet to become qualified for Jnana Yoga. So sadhana chatushtaya sampannaha are suitable for what? Ready for, qualified for Jnana Yoga. Life of Jnana Yoga. Life of, otherwise they have to live a life of Karma Yoga. They have to become qualified. Therefore, Jnana Yogaha Sankhyanam. Sankhyanam Jnana Yogaha. Jnana Yoga lifestyle involving Shravanam, not only Shravanam, Mananam and Nidhyasanam. Jnana Yoga lifestyle involving Shravanam and more of Mananam and Nidhyasanam. Okay, is for people who are endowed with fourfold qualifications. And people who are not endowed with fourfold qualifications, they can have Shravanam, but they have to do also what? Live a life of Karma Yoga. That's the only way to prepare themselves for Jnana Yoga. So, Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, no, Jnana Yogyatam Dadati. Karma Yoga will prepare the mind for knowledge. Jnana Yoga Jnanam Dadati. Okay? Jnana Yogyata Jnanam. Karma Yoga will make one eligible for Jnanam. Jnana Yoga will bless one with knowledge. Is it clear now? It's very important. These are the two lifestyles. And there are only two divisions. Karma Yoga and Jnana Yoga are the two main divisions of the entire Shastram. And two different subject matters of what? The entire Shastram. Karma Shastram and Jnana Shastram. Okay? And these two, as it is said in the next following chapter, where is it now? Jnana Yogena Loke Svindvividha Nishtha Pura Proktamayanagha Jnana Yogena Sankhyanam Karma Yogena Yoginam. The whole Jagat will chant third chapter. Whether they know or not, okay? That means Jnana Yogena Sankhyanam Karma Yogena Yoginam Dvividha Nishtha Maya Pura Prokta. There are only twofold lifestyles prescribed for all the people. There is no other third lifestyle. There are only two lifestyles. One has to have Shravanam, after Shravanam Mananam, after Mananam Nidhyasanam, which needs some preparedness. That Shravanam Mananam without Nidhyasanam, no ascertained vision. Okay, Nidhyasanam needs what? Mananam. Mananam must have been already done. And which implies Shravanam, without having heard, without knowing the nature of the Atma, how can you meditate upon the nature of the reality? If you do not know what is the nature of the reality, it's not one time listening, Satchidananda Swarupaha, Satchidananda, Satya existence, Chit consciousness, Ananda limitlessness, by heart it, 100 times. You understand anything or what? No. That won't work. Understand this Swarupam. Now, by listening again and again, Upanishad after Upanishad, same thing, repeatedly listen in different Upanishads. Now, first time when you listen, the gross mind becomes little loose. Tattva Bodha, little looses. Then for second chapter of Gita, little looses. Third chapter, little. Mind becomes subtler. Same subject matter. We'll be repeatedly listening with different levels and, you know, the understanding capacity will be different. Mind becomes subtler and subtler and subtler. That is why Paunapunyena Shravanam Shastram says, people are doubting. Why? What we have heard in Kena Upanishad is the same thing we're listening again in Mundaka Upanishad and Chandogya Upanishad and also in the why? Upanishad means subject matter is the same. Texts are many, subject matter is the same. Same thing you are listening, but you were grosser, grossest, you became gross, then you know, grosser, then you became gross, then subtle, subtler, 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 subtler. The mind was subtlest to absorb it. The Shravana makes the mind subtle, a grasping power will be different. No? That is the secret. People don't understand this. Repeated listening. It's called Kita Bringa Nyaya, you know. The Bringa, you know, Bringaha the bee will go and stand. You know, there is a tree, big bark of a tree, okay? And there will be a hole. The bird will go, the bee will go and sit in front of the hole, in the entrance of the hole. And inside they have laid some eggs. And the eggs, you know, the pupa, larva, everything goes and then comes out. Eggs will break and then the worms will come out. The worms will come out and fall and die. So the bee will sit, you know, blocking the entrance of the thing, which will allow them to come inside. It will fit in, fit in, fit in, fit in, fit in. Then what will happen? And slowly one day you'll see, they'll come out as with wings, they'll be grown and to come out as a with brick. With the wings. Kita Bringa Nyaya. What does it mean? Repeated listening. The same, if the more you listen, if the mind becomes subtler, more joy you will discover, because the more you will grasp. The mind hasn't it become subtle, then you will feel repetitive, then you will feel bored. That means it doesn't work. You had to wait for this. You had to go and play some more time with some other toys and things. Some more serials and movies you have to watch, and some more parties are still. You have to go and then get some more kick seat here and there and come back. That's all preparedness. It needs some readiness to enjoy Upanishad Shastra class. That is why Shastram is always kept as a very sanctified. No, the sanctity has been preserved. They never went out and taught. Never was free. No, free Gita books have never been distributed in India. No, never. We will never do it. Free New Testaments are distributed. We never distribute because it's preserved. Very, no, very, very, very important. Very precious knowledge. You won't give. Will we throw gold like this, diamond ring like this? It is I can put. Okay, 10 pounds, doesn't matter. A big solitaire diamond ring. Will we keep somewhere here, carelessly like this? No. Always care wearing. And when you're wearing also, always mind is here. And a key to keep it carefully. Why? Preciousness. Similarly, Shastram also is very precious. No? We want to preserve the sanctity. Never it is given distributed freely, because it needs a prepared mind which approaches it. It has to be approached. It should not be given like that. That is how this, because it is. Otherwise people will come one day. Let all the children play with the toys and crayons. One day they'll come to the university. All that they need is wait for the time. Give them enough time to grow. So Shastram is very, very, very relaxed. There's no pressure on the part of the Shastram or the teacher. If I don't give, what will happen? No pressure. Give them, That is why, why I want to say here. So without Shravanam, Mananam is not possible. Without Mananam, Nididhyasanam is not possible. Without Nididhyasanam, Jnanam, Paramartha Darshanam is not possible. Without which, where is Shoka Nivrittihi? Moha Nivrittihi? Shoka Nivrittihi is not possible. Shoka Nivrittaye Moha Nivrittihi? Moha Nivrittaye, Moha Nivrittaye Viveka Praptihi? Viveka Prapti Yartam Vatna? Paramartha Darshanam you need. For which, one has to be prepared with what? Sadhana Chatushtaya Sampattihi. If a person has Sadhana Chatushtaya Sampattihi, then he can be given to Mananam and Nididhyasanam, which is then that lifestyle is called Jnana Yoga lifestyle. If you are not yet ready, don't need to worry. You are not inferior. You are equally, in fact, No, Jnana Yogehi Yat Prapate Tate. We are going to see the later on in the next third chapter. Whatever is accomplished by the Jnana Yogis, accomplished by Karma Yogis also, in nowhere they are inferior. So live a life of Karma Yoga. Therefore, twofold lifestyles have been presented in the Shastram as two lifestyles are ultimately to accomplish Paramartha Darshanam. And that Karma Yoga lifestyle is in between. Karma Yoga has been in between introduced in this chapter on Sankhyam. Jnana Yoga is the main topic of second chapter. In the second chapter, wherein Jnana Yoga is the main topic, Karma Yoga also is discussed. Why? Because they are two important topics of the, two important divisions of the Shastram. This small, in two lines of Shankaracharya says this much. That is the heart of Shankaracharya. To really make what exactly he feels, I have to talk this much. So, okay? So, this is an introduction to the following verse. Bhagavad Gita, Krishna himself is going to say why he is talking about Karma Yoga in the chapter on Jnana Yoga. Krishna is going to say the next verse. For that verse, Shankara gives an introduction here. In this verse. Is it clear? So, then what will happen? Nishtadvaya Vishayam Shastram Sukham Pravartishyate. So, this twofold commitment to twofold lifestyles, Shastram will be effort easily, will present it, and will be easy for the listeners. Shrotarascha. Now, Vishaya Vibhagena Sukham Grihishyanti. If we make the division of the, if we present the division of the two topics clearly, it will be easy for the listeners to understand, to comprehend, to grasp. Sukham grahishyanti will comprehend, will grasp, will absorb easily without any effort or effortlessly. If the divisions of the Shastram are presented. For that sake only, the divisions, two divisions of the Shastram, two main topics of the Shastram are presented here. Is it clear? Okay. Over? It's time? Yeah.
Swami, there are many references to assimilation, assimilated knowledge, ascertained knowledge, clear knowledge, subtlety of understanding. Can I ask you, actually, what are the different kinds of knowledge? We don't like the word theoretical or practical.
So no. We don't like the word theoretical and practical. So ascertained vision means, when you listen to the Shastram, we do understand.
Yeah.
Still we have dukkham. Still we have all the problems of the mind. As long as the problems of the mind are there, the understanding has not yet become ascertained. That is the scale. How can I say my understanding, my vision is ascertained vision? I have ascertained understanding. My knowledge is ascertained knowledge, assimilated knowledge. Means what? I have knowledge. Now, having understood 30 verses of Bhagavad Gita, we have some understanding. We cannot say we have understood anything at all. But when I say we have yet to get it ascertained, means until we become free really. The understanding is there. Understanding helps us. Understanding has made us some better human beings than what we were before. We were also good human beings. Before also we were good human beings. We were never bad human beings. We were always good human beings. And the understanding of Shastram has improved from what we are now. Definitely improvement is there. This has made us better human beings. But still, now understanding is there. This knowledge is there. This knowledge, I have not yet overcome. I am still affected by pairs of opposites. Still there are times I have pain. I cannot say I have completely overcome pain. I cannot say I am not shaken by anything. Na vichalyate. I cannot say I am not shaken by anything that is happening. Still there are moments I am shaken. That means what? In spite of having studied Shastram, the person who doesn't study Shastram at all, he is also affected. Who studied, studying also affected means what? That does not mean people who are studying are wasting their time. Many people in India ask this, you know. You've been going to Gita classes, what is the use of going to the Gita class? You will also get angry like me. At least they get angry. They don't break things. Now, many people ask this. Now, what I'm saying here, ascertained vision means, what is the scale? When the vision becomes ascertained, then this knowledge has started working. Means what? That is, then when we are not all shaken by anything, then your vision has become ascertained. That is possible only in Nididhyasana. That Nididhyasana requires a steady mind. Understand? For which Karma Yoga is needed? Some meditation, prayer, worship, Karma Yoga are all needed. Along with the Shravanam, prayer, worship, living life of Karma Yoga, all these things must be done along with Shravanam. We are all doing that. Which will help us have sadhana chaturshya sampatti and ascertained vision. Until that time, you have to be listening again and again and again and again. And the shravanam itself will become maranam and nididhyasam after some time. After some time. We are only in the 30th verse of second chapter. 18 chapters are there. That is the difference.
Just a matter of clarity then. Is that?
Yeah, yeah. What I'm saying, the clarity, continuous listening. Yeah. See, the more we listen, what I'm saying, I'm not undermining anybody's intelligence or the grasping capacity or understanding capacity. I should not do that. I'm not doing it. Shastram doesn't allow it. Only naturally, all the minds, in terms of spiritual knowledge, we are not subtle enough. We are intelligent enough. We are not subtle enough. And then for that subtlety of the mind, the required for this grasping, we need to listen first. And the listening first some first-hand information, understanding, and helps us. The more we listen, repeatedly without feeling bored, what has been heard already again is repeatedly listened to, and it so throws some clarity. A thin line of vagueness is removed. My God, 6 months of listening will remove thin line of vagueness. Another 6 months of listening, 1 year of listening will remove much thinner line of vagueness. That means what? Clarity is there. Clarity enhances. We cannot say there's total lack of clarity. Clarity is there that enhances. For which Shravanam, Punaha Shravanam, Paunaf Punyena Shravanam. Repeatedly listening to the repeated listening is what? The Sadhanam. Swamiji, not only Swamiji, even in Kanchi Pariva was Mahatmas were there, Shankaracharya, Adi Shankaracharya. Another Shankaracharya who is no more, and Mahapariva, we used to call him. Also Shringeri Acharya, Shringeri Shankaracharya, I had very close association with all these sadhus. And they used to say, in Tamil, they used to say, now, go and listen. Now, I have some doubt, I want to ask you. Come to the class again, listen again. Again, come and listen. Now, one Shringeri Acharya said, I want to show my Sanskrit knowledge. Then I said, Avam Ubhav Api Samskritam Patiyavaha Asmin Rajapalaye Nagare. Ubhav Api Iti Vaktavyam. He said, not Ubhav Api, Ubhav Api Iti Vaktavyam. Then he said, not enough, study well, go ahead. I tell you, real teacher will never flatter. I tell you, flattering the children is very bad. And then pointing out the mistakes is very bad. Whenever you find something, stroke the back, give chocolate, pinch, then tells wrong, you have to say, and hug. But I tell you, flattering too much is bad. No, say anything complimentary is there, tell them enough. Enough, you have done a good job. Our Swamiji will live, very difficult to appreciate Swamiji, our Swamiji. To be appreciated, Swamiji never flatters people. Oh, wonderful, you have done excellent. He will never say that. It's very difficult to have one big word of... That's not mean he doesn't recognize the good work. He always acknowledges the goodness, good work, any hard work, anything he acknowledges, he recognizes. No? And then he'll say something good. But I was so excellent, fantastic, oh great. No. Never. Too much of flattery. Because we're truthful, genuine, because you stop. Because if you boost the ego somewhere wrongly. People think, no, it's all proper shastra, drishti is different. No, appreciate the child for anything good. You have to appreciation is different from over flattering, overdoing things. Boosting the ego. It's wrong. At the same time, pointing out the wrong things in front of others, humiliating also is wrong. Because attached to the guilt and hurt. That's also not right. So many things, you have to be very careful, because every mind is like a fine baby, carefully handled. Every mind is a baby. It needs a lot of careful, you know, delicate handling. Delicate darling is the mind. Every mind, human mind, is an ordinary thing. But be very careful. That is why, you know, the only clarity enhances. So everybody is good. All that we need is, mind has to naturally become, open up. See, all apara vidya, any knowledge other than this self-knowledge is what? Within the realm of matter, which is ignorance. Realm of ignorance. Even there, physics, if you go, my God, your mind has to become subtle. See, what big medicine, people who study medicine, all about body, grass. Now, all biology, biological science, it's okay. But you go chemistry, then more physics, you need a much subtle mind. You see things and cut and dissect and know how the stem lives, how the body lives. All biological sciences are gross sciences. You go to the physics, much subtler. Even there, the physical sciences now, chemistry and after physics are beautiful, much subtle. It needs subtle mind. Everybody cannot go to physics. No, biology is okay. I don't deny it. I don't think biology of any something inferior anything. So I'll say everything, every discipline is in the order of Ishwara, Bhagavan. Virad Ishwara. No? But this needs more. Similarly, even for that you need subtle. And mathematics. Physics, more than mathematics is physics. Physics is a much subtler mind. Subtle mind. That is why, no, it's not like something. And history and geography. You had to mug things in some stories, right? You don't need to buddhi anything, you do not just mug. That is geography gives some knowledge. History, you know, people say that it gives knowledge of culture. I don't understand, really. I don't know, maybe. I shouldn't say that. Somehow. You don't need anything. It all depends upon, you need subtle and subtle like that. And imagine spiritual knowledge. There is source of knowledge. What is knowledge? What is this knowledge? Then the discipline, you say, knowledge means what? Where is it? Where does it rise? What is the location of it? Where is it happening? What is source of knowledge? The knowledge of the knowledge, okay? The source of knowledge you want to see. Then you need what? My God, much subtler mind. That is why Shastram, listen to the same subject matter again and again at different levels. Now, physics also we study at 9th standard. The same physics we study in MSc physics also. But the same thing, same law you study, but in more elaborate, you know, understanding. So, mundaka, na kena, kata, taitriya, na mandukya, chandogya, brihadaranyaka, ishavasya. No? Then, subtle. What's that? Slightest thin layer of vagueness, removal is, oh my God, it's a great joy, enhanced clarity. So clarity enhances. So understanding is always there. The very beginning, first day, subject of analysis over, my God, I the self am the Atma, not the body. That one knowledge, big knowledge. I am not the body, I am not the senses, I am not the mind. That itself is a big understanding. And afterwards, no, I am not anatma, Atma and Anatma is a big understanding. Then what Atma is understanding, and this alone is Atma, is other understanding. Okay, that's why Shravanam, 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 Shravanam itself will one day become Mananam, and Mananam, 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 one day very class will become Nididhyasana. Same person will be talking the same thing, your understanding, your clarity would have enhanced so much. I knew because I was with Swamiji, you know, how it used to be in the very beginning. And Swamiji was talking the same, he said what I was talking before 3.5 years, I started the course, I am taking the same thing. I am not talking anything differently. Your understanding has, capacity has changed. Your clarity has enhanced. Of course, that's a different thing. Of course, we do add certain things and all that. The way it is presented, there is a difference. Same thing but differently presented and all that. That is what the ascertained vision is there. There is not too many difference in knowledge or anything. Ascertained vision, the day when I can say, I am not affected by anything. That is the measure. Okay, I have ascertained vision. As long as I remain affected by things in spite of my knowledge, that does not mean knowledge is not useless. Knowledge is, thank God, you've already stepped into, okay, you already started climbing, you're somewhere half the way or somewhere very close, but still, no, it's not a waste of time, it's not a waste of energy, it is very much useful. That is why even the years you spent in school also is not a waste. Some way. It's all some tapas, some sort of, I can't say totally waste. Definitely we have to be grateful to that. And then somewhere they have contributed, instilled also some punyam. Okay, and your own some papam also is there. What is that? If all of you have attained moksha by now, what is, I don't have any job to do now. No? That's also there, you know. That's what we have to say. And not only with this, see, when our preparedness is not there, then the proper, the vision, the purpose will be very clear. But still, sometimes what is given is not enough, what is given is not adequate or proper also. Sometimes both, you know, our readiness also is not there, takes years. So nothing is, the whole life is meaningful. Whatever you have done is also meaningful. It has not been waste, not useless. And we should never think, oh, I have wasted my life. Don't ever think that. Nothing has been wasted. All of whatever life we have lived, that has contributed to something. Promise. This laughter in itself is what? Understand now, this is just something is there. Only thing is that the measure, what is the scale? What is the scale of ascertained vision? No? What is the scale with which you can measure? Na chalyate. Kenapi dukhe na chalyate. Na vichalyate. Then you can say, I have ascertained vision. But that means, after you start studying, this study will 100% shraddha. This will take me to that. Why? Because it is not, you are not going to accomplish something which has to be newly accomplished. You know, accomplishment is the accomplishing the already accomplished. That is why it is all in terms of discovery. That is why you are very, can be relaxed. Something has to be gained means there is possibility of not gaining it. Gaining the already gained means definitely somewhere in this house I have to search for it. I lose the key sometimes, okay? And then I know I didn't go anywhere outside this cold weather, where do I go? I'm very cool. I'm very, very cool. I know, I have to search for it. That pain is there, worry. But I'm very cool. No, why? I have not lost it. It is there somewhere. I have to search for it. That involves some effort. Why I'm so relaxed? I have not lost it. I know where it is. I have to search for it, which involves that effort. Only if I'm lazy to search, there is a problem. And I can search. Inside this house, somewhere, I don't go to Anna's room also. I come here and only in this hall and my room. Two rooms I will be searching. And so cool. And before Anna comes, I would have found the key also. Why I'm saying? That's how, so this muktihi, moksha is the ultimate, I'm very clear. And I don't need to really achieve it. Not, okay, I know it's already there. As very me. How do I know? With the help of Shastra. I have faith in what Shastra says. I have faith in what the teacher says. No, what the Rishi says, what the Shastra says, I have faith. I no doubt. And this has helped me to have some understanding of what they reveal also. My entry into the study of the Shastra has helped me have some glimpse of it. Even though it's not the whole, complete, total vision. Some glimpse of it itself gives me some joy. I do see with my own, my own intelligence. I'm not a fool enough. I'm not a fool to not appreciate what they have said. I do have some glimpse with my intelligence, with limited intelligence. And then that gives me some joy. And that's why we become, it's a pleasure. That's why we become addicted also then. And really we understand, definitely, it is there. It's only discovery. And it needs some effort. And then we also, mind is also given to so many things that we brought back. Passion for knowledge will help us discover dispassion towards other things. And dispassion is not to be imposed, it has to develop and discover all maturity. We have to wait for the age. We can't expect 27-year-old Anjala to come and sit all the Bhashyam class feeling bored. She's still young. Has some more time. Even at the age of 80, 70, people don't want to come to the class. Still they want to go for partying and all that. That's okay. They're still children. But Allah for next Janma is definitely fixed, not definite. They can wait for next Janma. Who is, what should we be Nakhari? It's all. It is where you can be relaxed. Shastram first helps to relax. Be relaxed. First how it helps us to relax? A, it's only discovering what is already. That is why a sannyasi has no competitor. In fact, a real person, a jignasu has no competitor. A mumukshu has no competitor. You know why? Anybody who stands on your way becomes a competitor. Nobody is standing on your way towards moksha. It is your own birthright, okay? It's your birthright. So when you already know this fact, you're so relaxed. Nobody can come and grab my moksha. So I am so relaxed. I can take my own time. This janma or next janma or another 10 janmas. No problem. It's definite for me. Or, if I'm very serious, I want to, this time itself. Then become just all. No partying, no meat eating, no drinking, no alcohol. No, that things come, have the disciplines and come some prayers and some serious and pray and beg and cry to Bhagavan. Pray and worship, be thankful and do your duties, be conscious of dharma, become to shastram, try to understand, have some, at least every day swa adhyayanam, at least 1 hour a day, listen to shastram. What is the commitment? How will you get it otherwise? Without doing any effort, how can I expect I want £10,000 a month. How can I expect it? I don't get the work, it's a different thing. No, I don't get enough work, that's a different thing. If I don't work, then I can't expect it. Similarly, everything needs some effort, the required adequate efforts. That is why all the disciplines should go with the study. Only then the purpose of the study gets served. Otherwise, a mere academic pursuit. People who study Vedanta, who do philosophy, Advaita Vedanta, MA, PhD in Advaita Vedanta, but they'll go drink, dine and dance program, participate in that. Now, that won't go together. The purpose of study won't work there, won't be effective, get served. Then discipline, Vaidika Jnanam, knowledge of the Vedas means that lifestyle also should go with that. I don't say you should all wear saris and all those things. I don't expect that. It's not in terms of the culture. I mean, no. I don't say men. I mean, even women say, no, you all should wear dhoti. I don't say that. Even our Vaidikas come here, they have to wear pants. That's a different thing. I mean, eating, talking, the discussions, even for fun, no vulgar things should be brought in. All we are very cautious, very careful. We all go with what we talk, how much we talk, when we talk, when, where, what we talk, how careful we are, what we eat, how much we eat. All these things are very important. Shastram is very strict about all those things. Doesn't say do's and does not. We don't have do's and don'ts. If we don't do this, you will miss this. That's what it says. Only condition. If you don't follow this, you will lose this. You follow this, you will get this soon. That's all. Don't do this. No. Shastram is very careful. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Om Harihi Om Tatsyate Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.